The transition in this liturgy from the acclaim, the celebration, the jubilation that that pilgrim crowd who joined Jesus on that final journey and entry into Jerusalem that we celebrate, okay, in a much more muted form than normal because of the ban on processions and unnecessary movement within our liturgy. And yet that sense of the wonder, the crowd had seen what Jesus was like. They'd seen the wonders that he had done. Perhaps some of them had been people that he had healed. Perhaps some of them had people who had lost all hope, and he had provided that freedom. He'd fed them. He'd attended to their basic and essential needs. He'd loved them. He'd given them life when they had no life. And then, suddenly, we transition. We jump through the final week to arrive at the final night as he's there in the garden as all of his disciples run away. That wonderful scene that we have uniquely in the Gospel of Mark. Scholars have speculated that perhaps it's Mark's perspective himself. Perhaps he's the young man who's there with the linen cloth that when the soldiers grab it, he has to run away naked in order to flee from that scene. But we come to that moment when humanity is seen at its worst. We've seen humanity at its worst way too often in our world. We saw it yesterday in the new attempts by the military junta in Myanmar to suppress this popular voice of people wanting to restore democracy to that country. We don't need to look far. There are so many stories in our own neighborhoods of violence and hatred, sexual abuse of women that we've seen in the stories so often over these days. We know our dysfunction. We know how disjointed our lives are. We know how desperately we are in need of that healing of the Lord, but he's offering it to us. That's why the crowds welcomed him. That's why the crowds acclaimed him. I'm doing some study in counseling at the moment, and the unit I'm studying at the moment is looking at person-centered therapy, and particularly looking at the therapy that was proposed and developed by Carl Rogers in the middle of the last century. And he goes through a number of requirements for how a healing relationship is able to be effective, how it's able to be therapeutic. And he talks about these three core conditions that are necessary for that. And one of the first is that there simply is congruence. We live so often in incongruence. That means that there's dysfunction, we recognize there's a problem that we're not facing or we're not dealing with, or some issue from our past, some wound, some mourning that we haven't processed, some grief that we need to experience, some loss that we haven't yet really faced. And the therapist, hopefully, is someone who's able to be in that place of congruence, a person that's worked through some of those issues to be able to be there for you. He also says that what is necessary is that the therapist also shows empathy. The therapist is able to enter into what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, in order to go on that journey with you. And that thirdly, there is this necessity for unconditional positive regard. Just to hold you not in a place of judgment. The therapist isn't condoning nor condemning anything that you're experiencing. It's just being there, holding you in this absolute positive way. And pondering upon that this week, I realized that that's precisely the way that Jesus is with us. That he's able to be there in that perfection. When we read the opening pages of Scripture and we see what God's original plan and purpose is for humanity, that he wanted us to be in that simple relationship with him, to be together at ease in the garden and at ease with God. But in the fall, we lost all of that. And sin begins to enter and to darken our experience. God is always calling us to find that life. And when you read through the pages of the Hebrew Scriptures, of the Old Testament, and you're trying to see, is there some other character who's able to embody what God originally intended for people? And we see little hints and signs of people that are beginning to get some sense of what that might be about. But every one of those projects, every one of those lives fails, because they're not able to live that dream and that reality. And so we close the last page of the Hebrew Scriptures knowing that no one has been able to live that dream. No one has been able to live that reality, that gift of the perfection of simply being in the image and likeness of God, until we turn to the first page of the New Testament and we begin to get the stories of the birth and the life of Jesus. And we realize that finally we have that fulfillment. Finally, the person of Jesus, we're able to find that perfect human being who's gone through it all. We hear it in such violence and hatred. When I was doing my 30-day retreat a few years ago, and we spent a week looking at the passion narratives, and just as I read through again and again this story that we heard today from the Gospel of Mark, you know, I was just struck and overwhelmed by the amount of violence is in there. I counted there are 40 different terms of violence and hatred and abuse that are hurled against Jesus. It's the raw nature of the violence that we see in our world. And yet Jesus remained. He was there, able to be there, to hold all of that in that state of congruence, in that state of empathy. He's experienced it all. He's suffered it all. So he knows when we're suffering that we can go to him, that we can take our burdens, we can take all of our woes to him. As Paul tells us in our second reading today, that wonderful song of Christ that we have on the second chapter of Philippians, who, though being in the very nature of God, did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself. The Greek word is kenosis. He emptied himself and to assume the condition of a slave. And being humbler yet, he accepted death, even death on a cross. He's there. He's ready. He's waiting. He's available to bring the healing that our world so desperately need, that we so desperately need, that I so desperately need. If we need that healing, if we recognize the state of failure in our lives, cling to him. Go to Jesus. Allow his healing to bring restoration to our world, to our lives. He is the healer. He is the therapist. He is the one who's able to stand with us and be with us in order to bring us to life. Let's indeed, during this week, this holy week, to place our hearts and our desperate need for God and for healing before him, so that he can do that work. He can restore us and renew us once again.